Namaste and welcome to Vedanta, the River of Wisdom podcast, a podcast that brings to you the ancient flowing tradition of wisdom that reveals you are pure being having a human experience. I am Swamini B, a Vedanta teacher and a Hindu monk, and your guide by the side. Let us flow, you and I, on the banks of the river of wisdom.
A bypass is a road or a highway that avoids or bypasses a built-up area, town, or village. The bypass allows traffic to flow through without interference from the local traffic. It reduces congestion in the built-up area and helps to improve road safety. Sounds good, right? Heart bypass surgery is similar. Because of a blocked or partially blocked artery in the heart, a new path is created for blood to flow around the heart. Thus, the new pathway improves blood flow to the heart muscle. Medically and on the road, a bypass is helpful. On the other hand, spiritual bypassing is not helpful. A term coined by psychologist John Wellwood in 1984, spiritual bypassing refers to the tendency of individuals to use spiritual beliefs and practices as a way to avoid or bypass uncomfortable emotions, unresolved psychological issues, or just the challenges of daily living. All of us have done spiritual bypassing and perhaps continue to do so. Why? Because we want to avoid pain and suffering. The orientation to avoid pain is so ingrained that we bring the same orientation to Vedanta too. We can't help it. As long as the teachings and the teacher are making me feel good, it seems like Vedanta is working. The moment I stop feeling good, we look for different or more teaching or another teacher. In fact, when people come face to face with the helplessness and limitation of the human condition, many think they were better off before they came to Vedanta. But the truth is that the many filters and distractions are off and one has the courage to look at the reality of the body's mortality. The diagnosis of a problem can be more painful than living with the painful symptoms sometimes. So then, what does spiritual bypassing of emotion look like in Vedanta? Emotional numbing and repression. Some people believe that true spiritual progress means being unaffected by emotional ups and downs. A 45-year-old single person, also a Vedanta student, who feels lonely, was embarrassed to admit so because admission of loneliness felt like he was not making spiritual progress. He thought that being a Vedantin and a devotee to boot means never feeling lonely. And so he clearly repressed his feelings of loneliness and diverted it into overworking in the name of Karma Yoga. Another 40-year-old woman who had found that her husband had cheated on her, with tears brimming in her eyes, said that she had finally accepted the situation. She said she did not have a choice. When I asked her how she was doing, she said that I do not feel anything. It was clear to me that she had felt so much pain that her body had gone into emotional shutdown. She had become numb to all emotion. She could barely smile or even hold a conversation. What would help her is to give herself permission to express all her emotions, including murderous rage, rejection, and so on, before she prematurely rushed into acceptance of the situation. While the teaching of Karma Yoga highlights Samatvam, being more or less unaffected by emotional yo-yos, this is born of a growing understanding of the laws of karma and Ishvara. One does not have this on day one. So then, how to avoid this spiritual bypassing of emotional numbing and repression? We stop converting Vedanta teaching into a should. Having Samatvam, which is a growing gracious acceptance of our situations, is different from a fist-clenched, forced, beatific smile of I should have Samatvam, gracious acceptance in all situations. Our entire emotional landscape is like a multicolored, multi-hued painting pervaded by Ishvara. It is painted with the brush strokes of anger, fear, excitement, cheerfulness, sadness, enthusiasm, helplessness, motivation, joy, and so much more. The truth is that we did not create any emotion. It was given to us. We have the ability to feel all emotions many times, intensely, and also to be able to be free of the emotion as it passes through us. Some situations may feel like having heightened emotion as a result of the situation, past samskaras of previous lifetimes, as well as our build-up in this lifetime. By labeling emotions as positive and negative, we have cornered ourselves and don't even know it. Popular culture has also added to this issue. I truly believe that emotions are not positive or negative. There are negative things that we do when we go against dharma because of how we handle our emotions. Our emotions simply are. Getting angry about the abuse or suffering in a relationship will help you to find the motivation and strength needed to either improve the relationship or seek help to address it. Thank God we have been given the gift of anger. You could meet with death just because of your excessive compassion for a terrorist who is seeking to kill people of your religion. Feeling sad about your inevitable death and the death of loved ones will prompt you to find greater meaning and connection in life. Thank God we have been given the gift of sadness. Somehow, we have developed a dvesha, a strong dislike of anger, sadness, and fear. We dislike us having these emotions. I'm not suggesting that we start go looking for it actively. All I'm saying is that we need not run away from it, nor wallow in it. If we are spiritually bypassing, we believe that being a Vedanta student is all about peace and contentment. There is no room for anguish, dejection, and helplessness, which is an integral part of the human experience. Often, what causes us more pain is not the actual pain, but the added imposition of, I should not feel pain. As it is, I am in pain. I can just allow it to move through me, feel it, and see it inevitably pass. But in the name of Vedanta, we react to a reaction. I am in pain, that I am in pain. I should not be in pain. And then we throw in some self-judgment for good measure as well, to ensure that the pain continues. After months or years listening to class, I am still in pain. We are master artists at building up on any emotion by how we react to it. And then we're stuck in an emotional spiral. It is good to express our emotion appropriately. Emotional expression does not mean that we victimize a person because of our intense emotion. Just because I'm angry does not give me a license to give someone else a earful. In between the polarities of repressing and holding our anger in, and directly expressing our anger, is a sweet spot, the possibility of a truly healthy capacity for both the containment and release of anger with clarity. Many of us are afraid that we'll get stuck or lost in fear if we move closer to it. Pooja Swamiji would often say, "Welcome the fear." So what actually happens when we consciously welcome the fear is that it does not grip us so tightly. If we stay present with the fear, allowing ourselves to feel it completely and track its sensations in the body, we will become less fearful of our fear. The more deeply we move into our fearfulness, the less fearful we become. When we deny the fear by saying, "I'm learning Vedanta and so I must not feel fear," we remain trapped in it. But when we actually do get inside it, cultivate an intimacy with it, we're no longer trapped by it. I feel fear. Fear and how it feels, terrifying thoughts, and how it is sensed in the body is a part of Ishvara's order. It is okay. I feel lonely. Loneliness, how it feels, the related thoughts of having no one, and the sensations of the chest and the stomach are a part of Ishvara's order. We do the same with every other emotion. I feel angry. Anger is a part of Ishvara's order of emotions. I feel sadness. Sadness is a part of Ishvara's order of emotions. And so, no emotion is worthy of rejection because it is all a part of the order of emotions that is pervaded by Ishvara. We try to embrace all our emotions as a part of Ishvara's order. One can certainly look into the connection between the emotion, the thought, and how it manifests in one's body and see if something needs to be done about it. Vedanta teaches us that our journey to acceptance begins with accepting that I cannot accept the situation, these emotions, and being honest with oneself. I accept that I cannot accept. This itself reduces my resistance to myself, the situation, or the other person, and I create space for seeing the reality. True spiritual growth involves allowing oneself to experience all emotions, allowing the emotion to pass through us, and finding helpful ways of expressing it. Since the flow of all emotions is now restored through one's heart and mind, there is no need for spiritual bypassing of emotion. Vedanta does not teach us to deny emotions nor numb emotions, so that we reach a stage of no emotion. Vedanta does not deny our full-bodied human experience, which means I am free enough to experience every emotion, and I am free from every emotion. You matter. Your life matters. What you do with your life matters. Thank you for listening. If you took away something of value from this episode, I would really appreciate it if you were to tag me either on Twitter at DiscoverAtma or on Instagram at DiscoverAtma and share your thoughts and reflections. If you are on Spotify, then please let me know what you think of this episode. And if you are listening to this on Apple or any other podcasting platform, then do spare a few moments and leave a review or rate this episode, because this small input of yours will go further in making the podcast known to people who may be interested. Thank you for doing this. Would you like to receive an email every month that will bring to you more wisdom, more happiness, and more freedom? If the answer is yes, then our monthly newsletter, Arshavidya Bharati, is for you. It has articles on living our traditions, links to podcast episodes, articles and videos published elsewhere in the month, reflections about how Vedanta is changing the life of students, announcements about events and courses, profound Sanskrit sayings, and much, much more. And it's not too long. Do consider checking out this month's issue and also subscribe. The links are in the description of this episode. The transcript of this podcast is available on discoveratma.com/category/podcast. I would love to hear from you. If you have a request or a reflection, please write to me at swaminiji@discoveratma.com. That's swaminiji@discoveratma.com. As always, thank you for listening, and we meet next week.